You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. Unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. 7:06, and nice to have you here up north on this Thursday morning, September 26th, 40 days until Election Day. And coming up this hour, we will talk to Assembly candidate Allison Page. She's part of our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good. So Kate Duffy will be joining us as well. And we believe we are welcoming back to our Lake Wissota studios the appearance of one Luke Mathers, who's taken a couple of weeks off, of which we're insanely jealous that he got a break from some of the politicking. But unfortunately, he also missed out on some gorgeous weather, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here to tell us about that. And then we will give you this hour's keyword for the Go for the Greener Gold Text to Win contest. Brittany, good morning, and how gorgeous is this?
Oh, goodness. It is fantastic. We're spoiled here in Wisconsin, and it's just going to keep continuing on. We've got a ton of sunshine on tap today, high-pressure system dominating the region, and it's staying put. It's not going anywhere. So we got to soak this up and enjoy it while we have it, because it is not forever, that's for sure. Highs today, the further west you live in the state, you'll hit closer to the upper 70s to near 80, which is unseasonably warm. We should be in the upper 60s to low 70s right now. The further east you live in the state, you're going to be closer to about that 70 degrees by Lake Michigan, and in the middle of the state in those mid-70s. We're going to hold on to those temperatures, like I said, for tomorrow and even into the weekend as well, flirting with 80 degrees and plenty of sunshine. Now, of course, that Hurricane Helene is now a Category 2. It is expected to make landfall into Florida this evening, and it's supposed to strengthen as well, potentially becoming a Category 3 with 115-mile-per-hour winds. So I just say that because, thankfully, that system is still forecasted to stay well south of us, still leaving us with a beautiful weekend here in Wisconsin.
It's so gorgeous. I'm just so loving this. From Rob, good morning from Tigerton. It's clear and 49 degrees. We have really been blessed with the nice weather in September. He goes on to say, When I think of Marty Robbins' El Paso, which we just played, I think of the Sun Bowl, which is played in El Paso. And Here Comes the Sun is a song for Brittany for this beautiful September weather.
Oh, I love it. Yes, thanks, Rob. Nice.
I know. The man knows how to pay a compliment, I tell you.
He does. He sure does.
Yep. Mr. Bach?
I have an update from my previous 6:06 weather/update.
Oh, that highly detailed weather report you gave an hour ago? Yes, what's your update?
An hour ago, it was dark. Mm-hmm. Now it's light out. So you're welcome.
The curtains here. Oh yeah.
Thank you very much. I am officially a meteorologist, a storm chaser, and hot air balloon enthusiast.
You, Greg, are a weather observer.
Yes.
That doesn't feel like a compliment.
Brittany does the forecast. You do the nowcast.
Here. Weather spotter. Weather spotter. That sounds cooler, right?
There. From Tony up in Ashland. Good morning from Ashland. Some nice fog over the field across the road. The dogs chased some deer out of the front yard on a crisp 53-degree morning. And, yeah, it's 53 here in the Chippewa Valley as well. And the farm field over here has a nice thin layer of fog on it. It'll be gone soon. And back to harvesting. Another beautiful day for that.
Absolutely.
All right, Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Let's go to our Go for the Greener Gold Text to Win contest. It happens four times a day at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. And we'll do it today and we'll do it tomorrow to wrap things up. Each time, those four times a day, you get a different keyword. We pick one entry statewide at random. And that winner gets $100 cash or gold jewelry, depending on what's up for grabs that hour. And of all the entries, there will be one grand prize winner getting a pair of indoor tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. You have until the end of the hour to text this keyword. The keyword is SEAT, S-E-A-T, as in you're going to get an indoor, really posh seat in Green Bay to see the Green and Gold if you're the grand prize winner. So SEAT, S-E-A-T, for $100. That's the prize that's up for grabs this hour, and then be in the running for the grand prize as well. All right, so there is this hurricane that Brittany was talking about, and it is going to obviously cause a lot of great concern for public safety and infrastructure and all of that. So obviously that is most important, but it is worth noting for Brewers fans that this storm is going to do some wild things to the baseball playoff potential that's out there. Now, the Brewers lost last night in Pittsburgh 2-1. Freddie Peralta had a nice outing. He retired the first nine batters he faced. He then got into a little trouble but hung on just long enough to get his 200th strikeout of the season, which he's now done for 2 years in a row. So they will play one more time. They wrap up the series in Pittsburgh. It's an 11:35 first pitch. Pregame starts this morning at 11 on Civic Media Stations WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WISS in Oshkosh. So here's the part about the hurricane and the playoff drama. Now, with the Brewers losing yesterday, and both the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Philadelphia Phillies winning, meaning they locked down the 1 and 2 seeds. They will get a bye in the first round of the playoffs. The Brewers, as the 3 seed, they have to play in the first round of the playoffs, and they will play the 6th seed, meaning whichever team gets that last wild card spot. So the Brewers are at number 3. The San Diego Padres have clinched one of the wild card spots. They're the 4. So what's left? The 5 and the 6. And the Brewers will play the 6. Problem is, there's 2 slots, but there's 3 teams that could still win it. The Arizona Diamondbacks, the New York Mets, and the Atlanta Braves are fighting for those final spots. The Mets and Braves were supposed to play in Atlanta yesterday and today, but rain, heavy rain ahead of the hurricane's arrival, has led those games to be postponed and forced into a doubleheader. So the regular season lasts an extra day. It's going to go into Monday. So the New York Mets are coming to Milwaukee today, if they're not here already, for the regular season finale that starts tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. Then they have to fly back to Atlanta for Monday's doubleheader, which might decide who's the 6th seed who would play the Brewers the next day, Tuesday, in Milwaukee. And that's all assuming that Atlanta can finish its regular season schedule, as they have games scheduled against the Royals Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Roger put up a comment about all of this as well. Let me go find it here. Roger says, the Brewers need to win today over the Pirates to win the season series. Should the Brewers accomplish this, they would take the season series from each of the other 4 Central Division teams, which, Greg, you have to admit, is pretty awesome. I mean, it's what you should do if you're going to win the division, but still, to win the season series against all of them, just, again, points to how well-rounded this team has been to, let's admit it, everyone's surprised this season.
That's exactly what I was going to say. All of the big, mathlete sports guys were saying, the Brewers aren't going to be very good this year. We'll see in another year, but... I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and I said, I have 2018 energy right now with it. Just a great team, great coach, excitement. It's not even, it feels really good.
It just does. And again, because as well, the expectation level is at a healthy level. It's, it's not that New York Yankee thing of, if we don't win, it's the worst thing ever. It's like, no, we're having a great ride. We've defied expectations. Let's keep that up. Let's keep the ball rolling.
Agreed.
The Packers and Vikings play Sunday at noon at Lambeau. That's a gold package, so a lot of Milwaukee area fans will be coming up. And by the way, even though it's a Central or NFC division game, it will be on CBS because of the way that they've, played around with the TV schedules. So again, CBS has the game Sunday at noon. Packers hosting the Vikings. Joe Zepecki said in the last hour, well, he wouldn't make a prediction because he's a little nervous. The Vikings are, you know, they're on a tear.
Yeah.
I am much more cynical about the Vikings ever doing anything when it really matters, but you know, we'll see.
Wow.
Tony chimes in on YouTube. Sports talk.
So boring, everybody.
But he also puts in Go Guardians and manager Stephen Vogt.
Yep.
Who we talked about the other day, former Brewer, who probably is the American League manager of the year for what he's done with the Cleveland Guardians. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of exciting things to watch. So, yeah, there's going to be a little bit of sports talk. And the Badgers are out west to take on USC, which is now in the Big Ten, which I still can't believe I'm saying. But Todd Alba has been out there. I talked to him on his show yesterday. It's a little weird to see one of our Wisconsin talk show hosts, you know, with the California palm trees behind him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I really wanted to turn the camera and see if we could get a view of the ocean, you know, Eric Hovde going up and down the beach with a metal detector, you know.
How old's your grandma? She should be dead in 4 months. She can't vote.
I know that sounds funny because we talk to Kia Vakil every Friday morning and he's in Los Angeles, but we don't have a video feed of that, so we don't see, you know, the lushness of the West Coast out there. So.
When does Up North News Radio get to take a West Coast tour? When do we get to sample the wares of the fine California coastlines?
Probably not anytime soon because Todd is staying at a friend's place. He's got friends in LA. And Kia's already made clear he does not have a place big enough for guests. So I don't remember what the context was, but the message was, no, don't come out here and expect to stay with me.
Gotcha. So, okay.
I think I was asking, there was something else that was going on, and I asked if he had friends, like maybe other friends from the Philadelphia area come out to catch the Phillies and Dodgers or something, and he says, oh no, I wouldn't let them. My place is too small, which I didn't ask him. I can't even fathom what rent prices must be like if you're actually living in Los Angeles.
It's disgusting.
And you're just a young couple as he is, so you know, we're very thankful that we get to talk to him. We're thankful Todd gets out there. But as far as our own West Coast thing, probably not happening anytime soon. Now I have done the show a few times, either from Kalamazoo, where the one daughter lives, or Idaho Falls, where the other daughter lives. Thankfully, through the magic of radio and technology, you know, we've been able to pull that off without a hitch. But the Hollywood trip's gonna have to wait a little bit.
I know.
Once again, the key word for the Go for the Greener Gold contest is SEAT, S-E-A-T. Use that Civic Media app and text us by the end of the hour, and you'll be in the running for $100 and maybe the grand prize of getting a seat in Green Bay to see the green and gold later on in the season. More after this. You're up north. Playing a few more clips from Abbey Road, which was released in 1969, final studio album by the Beatles. On this Thursday morning, September 26th, on Up North News Radio, I'm Pat Kreitlow. It's nice to have you here. Sign up for our newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner, and you can be part of the newsletter. Today, there's a story about adaptive kayaking for folks in the disabled community and the state parks where that kind of activity is available. There's also a story about the history and the evolution of the Milwaukee Brewers logo. And then there's my story on what a vote for any Republican candidate running for legislature, what it means for education in Wisconsin. We basically just look back at how Republicans have voted and what have Republicans proposed regarding public education in Wisconsin. And again, the candidate may vary from district to district, but on the whole, when it comes time for the state budget or other matters, here's how they're likely to vote on issues and how that would impact public education. Again, go to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the banner on top for the newsletter. Click support on the top of the homepage, and you can make a contribution. We kind of do what, you know, like public TV. They do public radio. They do a pledge drive every so often, and we do that as well. We have a lot of wonderful supporters there that make sure that we never have a paywall at Up North News, never will. But it's because we get all levels of support, from folks who can give a healthy amount to folks who, you know, once a year or so, they mail us a little check to P.O. Box 27, Chippewa Falls 54729 for, like, you know, $25. And for them, it's like that's what they used to pay for the newspaper that they don't get anymore. So we appreciate that if you want to support us over at Up North News as well. In talking about the Wausau mayor moving, you know, relocating a Dropbox, basically taking it out of its position. And in talking before that about the Dodge County Sheriff intimidating local clerks into not offering Dropboxes, and officials in at least eight municipalities, eight suburbs around Milwaukee deciding not to offer Dropboxes to their voters, to their residents, to their constituents. There's also this note from both Mary Spacuzza and Jesse O'Point at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, that the U.S. Department of Justice is suing two towns in northern Wisconsin over accessible voting machines, accusing them of not having voting machines accessible to people with disabilities. The towns involved here are the Rusk County towns of Lawrence and Thornapple. The complaint by the DOJ also says the state of Wisconsin failed to ensure that every polling place within the state was accessible to voters with disabilities as required by federal law. Federal officials said the town failed to provide accessible voting systems for the April 2nd presidential primary, and Thornapple also failed to do so for the August 13th primary election. From previous news reports and, you know, talk from folks in the town there, it certainly sounds like another case where conservatives are blaming machines, technology, the internet, Dropboxes, anything for Donald Trump's loss, other than Donald Trump himself. And again, in dozens of court cases, and in, well, now what's been, you know, 4 years of this being a story, nobody has found anything that indicates anything untoward happened to alter the results of a presidential election. And yet there are people that are now saying, well, we don't want machines. It's now just a war against the machines. Well, as much as you'd like to hand count every paper ballot, we're not living in the 13 colonies anymore. We're talking about millions and millions of people in Wisconsin alone. And we're talking about communities that historically, back in those good old days, couldn't vote because they couldn't have access because of their disabilities. Now we have the technology and the machinery that allows that to happen. And, you know, whichever one of these small towns it is, let's just pick any generic small town that says maybe we shouldn't have these machines. Well, having that machine is going to do nothing to the results, except for those, and I'm just plucking a number out of the air, those three people who have disabilities that you're now making it hard or impossible for them to vote. And why are you doing it? You're not doing it under any measure of, you know, election security or election integrity. Don't fool yourself. You wouldn't be talking like that if it was Joe Biden after, you know, winning, saying, oh, but these machines, they're so bad. And that wouldn't cause you to move them. The partisan motivations behind this are especially telling. I mean, you're telling on yourself if you're taking away adaptive voting machines, and if you're taking away drop boxes. Elections were running just fine with all of these things before and during the 2020 election. And so if we could kindly and finally give up this fantasy, otherwise known as the big lie, that there's something irregular about our election, that would be really helpful. But instead, We still have a presidential nominee, a vice presidential nominee, a U.S. senator here in Wisconsin, and so many other politicians continuing to undermine our elections by saying, well, people are asking questions. Are all these non-citizens voting? And shouldn't we have a constitutional amendment to keep non-citizens from voting? We already have a law that says elections are for citizens. For now, the third election in a row this year, voters are being asked ballot questions that were put on the ballot by Republican legislators about things that are already in the law. But it's a way to have something to talk about. So look at this. Look at the commercials that you're seeing. So much about the border, non-citizens voting, the trans community, LGBTQ issues. Where in there are you hearing what Republican and Trump supporting politicians are willing to do for you? Or are they just seeking to demonize others, hoping to win an election? And then their economic policy is, well, if we slash taxes for the wealthy, it will trickle down. To that end, Vice President Kamala Harris was in Pittsburgh yesterday, delivering a speech on the economy. And again, spelling out exact plans for what she would do to help the middle class grow. I urge you to take a look at that and learn more. And then vote early. And then make sure you ask your friends to get out and vote on November 5th. All right, our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, is coming up next. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. It's time for Women Win Wisconsin, powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good. I was almost late getting the segment started here because I totally got sucked into the Motherhood for Good website, motherhoodforgood.com. Click on merch. My goodness, the amount of stuff here, Nicole, Kate. Nice to have you back here, Kate Duffy and Nicole Slavin.
Morning.
And we'll introduce our guest, Allison Page, in just a moment here. But Nicole is in a sweatshirt that says, Go Vote. And it's in green and gold.
Oh, wait.
And
I do have a shirt on, too.
Oh, yes. You.
Not that anybody on the radio can see this.
Nope, but it's a Kamala Harris T-shirt and a Motherhood for Good cap. But the thing I like, Nicole, about the one you got is, again, it's not a partisan really? Message. It just says, go vote. And there are caps as well that just say, vote. And there's others that just say, support local elections.
Yes. It's about getting involved and, yeah, participating in the very, very important part of our political process here.
Mm-hmm. And then there's plenty of Motherhood for Good gear as well. There's a really cool zipped hoodie and a great, like, college-style T-shirt that's there. So head over to Motherhood for Good. I got so distracted by the merch, Kate, that I forgot to go to the regular website. You said there was so much going on. You're like, just point people to the website to see what else.
Or to the Instagram even. Yeah, it's nearing October in swing state Wisconsin, right? So there are surrogates all over the place. There's canvas launches all over the place. There's a lot going on. So we are posting about new things nearly every day. There's going to be a ton going on this weekend. So follow along on Instagram. And we do have a couple of those. We have these DIY yard signs for kids that they can decorate and put out in your yard. We have a couple of those events coming up this weekend, one in Whitefish Bay in the Milwaukee area, one in Madison. So, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, one of our mutual friends put up a note showing that one of the kid design signs, somebody had scrawled Trump over it. And it's like, you know, you can have who you're going to vote for. Don't be that jerk.
Yeah.
You know? So just want to keep that in mind. All right. So again, Motherhood for Good, really catch them on Instagram, all kinds of good stuff there. Now it's my pleasure to introduce a friend and fellow co-candidate, Allison Page, who is running for a seat in the assembly. Nicole, do you want to kick off things by, setting up Allison to maybe describe her district and give us her story and everything?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're so excited to be speaking with Allison today. She brings such a such an important, strong background, just personally in her life, as she's running for office now. Excited to hear more about her district way on in Western Wisconsin. And Allison, please welcome to the show and tell us a little about yourself and your district.
Thanks. Thanks, Nicole. Thanks, Kate. Great to see you again, Pat. First, I'll just tell you a little bit about the district. So we're talking about Western Wisconsin, the southern corner of St. Croix County, northwest corner of Pierce County. This is if you took I-94 and you were headed for St. Paul, right before you get to the Minnesota border, it's that area right there. It includes River Falls, Hudson, North Hudson, and some surrounding rural area. So it's a pretty, for our part of the state, it's a pretty tight geographical area. The area, and I would say alleluia and thank you to the people who worked for Fair Maps for so many hours and days and weeks, months and years. Due to the remapping, this district is much more fair now. It's a 50-50 district. It's a toss-up. It leans a little bit to the right, but over the past past few elections, it's been trending a little bit to the left. So very plausibly winnable. This is not my first rodeo. I have run for office twice before, back in 2008. Pat and I teamed up a little bit. I was running for the 10th Senate District. And then again, in 2022, I ran for state assembly in what was then my assembly district, which was southern part of River Falls and to the south, very rural, very right-leaning. So here I am. Third time around running for office, and this is actually winnable. So that's the district. It's a great place. It is a great place. It's one of the fastest growing areas in Wisconsin. It's a very vibrant area of the state. A lot going on, lots of changes, and a lot of exciting things.
And you've got a career in healthcare administration and nursing prior.
Yep. So I started life. I'm from a huge Catholic family, and I started life in healthcare as a nurse and then went on to get my administrative credentials. In the last 25, 30 years, I worked as an administrator. Most recently, I was the CEO of Western Wisconsin Health. Before that, I worked for one of the big systems in Minnesota. So healthcare is my deal. That's what I do. I've worked almost everything you can do in healthcare. I've cleaned the rooms. I've delivered supplies. I've taken care of patients as a nurse's aide and as an RN. And I've done anything you can imagine pretty much in a hospital. So besides that, I am married to the same man for 49 years. We have 5 children. I've got 7 grandchildren, helped to raise a couple foster children in our home. So very, very involved in the lives of children. And spent a lot of years on the River Falls School Board. I'm back on the River Falls School Board now. So probably 18 years I've been on the school board. Very involved in environmental issues with the land trust in the region. My mission is really to make Wisconsin a great place to live, work, and play, and a great place to raise a family. I think if we focus on families and what families need, that we will become a magnet. People will want to come and live here who have children, people who are raising children. So let's just focus on making Wisconsin a great place to raise a family. And if we do that, I think a lot of the rest of the issues that we're facing get solved.
Absolutely. And talk about why some of the policies that you are for and really a lot of like the Democratic platform are things that help all families and all Wisconsinites, no matter what party affiliation they're from. And, you know, I'm assuming you have things from your healthcare background, too, that are really important to people. What are some of those policies that are important to you that you're hearing about when you're going around the district?
Yeah, a lot of people, when I knock on doors, you know, people just want good things for their families. They want to be able to afford to raise their children well. And how do we help them do that? Well, you know, there's a few things. Number one starts with health care, with access to exceptional health care from when you're a kid on, that you know how to take care of your body really for the future. And support for people who are having children. And I'm talking about like the preemptive stuff, really the health and the wellness, moving upstream. At Western Wisconsin Health, that was our goal, was to move upstream before people are sick. How do we really improve the overall health and provide services for people to improve their overall health and well-being prior to getting sick? So big priority for me in healthcare, including access to mental health services, and particularly in Wisconsin, access to substance use disorder, treatment for people who have addiction services, and of course, very importantly, access to women's reproductive health services. I am pro-choice. I've actually personal experience. with a situation where due to issues with a pregnancy, I made the decision to have a later term abortion, therapeutic abortion. And so living through and making sure that all people in Wisconsin have access to the health services they need. If we do that for families, it makes it a lot better. The other thing is I will go to the mat. I'm a huge advocate for public education. Our constitution in Wisconsin calls for the education of all children in the most equitable manner possible, and that education should be non-sectarian. So we need to support our public schools the best and the most cost-efficient way to make sure every child gets the best education is a strong and excellent public school system. So let's do that. And then also I would say for families, making sure that the environment is excellent, the physical environment, clean air, water, soil. We could talk about that all day. And then access to jobs. I mean, jobs that families can live on. In my district, in the two counties, Pierce and St. Croix counties, 30% or more of the families are classified as ALICE, which we know is that working poor. They are working hard. They're both working hard. A gentleman whose door I knocked on the other night was in tears telling me about how he had to file bankruptcy. His wife is working, you know, two jobs at very, you know, very low end of the pay scale, and they can't get by. They've got, you know, 3-4 teenage kids, and it's just a real struggle. And so big portions of our communities are struggling to just get by. So assisting families with daycare, supporting daycare, making housing more affordable. And again, that's an all-day conversation of, you know, what exactly happened in the housing market here back as far as 2008. And what do we need to do to ensure access to affordable housing going forward? That's a whole nother project. But it's that kind of thing. So, you know, yeah. I'm in favor of business, but supporting businesses that are going to bring good jobs to the state that people can actually live on the salaries.
Well, and I love something that you said when you just at the beginning of this section, when you started talking is, you know, attacking the problem upstream and not waiting until the problem is there to address it. And you, that almost was woven into every policy thing you talked about. And I think it's such an important piece to strategic governing, right? Is attack the problem before it becomes a problem, invest in communities, invest in the infrastructure that's going to allow people to thrive and build lives that, you know, help them be more self-sustaining, and then we will all be a better community for it, right?
Right. All families are all our families. And, you know, my kids, my kids aren't okay unless all children are okay.
Yeah, I think that's a fundamental piece that most of us just understand, right? It's the idea of the community and taking care of the people around you. I wanted to ask a little more. I think just you have such a unique and strong experience when it comes to rural public health. And living in Green Bay, here is great, but you get outside of Green Bay and very quickly healthcare access changes. And could you talk? I think those of us who live in larger cities, we just take for granted that you can just zip over to your choice of a hospital. And, you know, if there's an emergency or you have your regular doctor that's within 10 minutes of your house. Can you talk about the impact of what's been happening with access to healthcare in rural parts of the state and you know, your thoughts on how we could make that better and more accessible for others?
Yeah, so Western Wisconsin, so we are right on the border of Minnesota. A lot, I would say almost a third of the healthcare that's delivered to the people in Western Wisconsin in this area is delivered in Minnesota. Minnesota is the home of many exceptional healthcare organizations. I used to work for one of them. And so there is access to healthcare across the border. And we have really good healthcare in basic primary healthcare and specialty services in Western Wisconsin. Where we start to struggle is people who maybe can't cross the border for all kinds of reasons because of their coverage. We run into trouble with access to substance use disorder treatment, behavioral health services. How do people, there isn't excellent coverage for these things. How do people pay for it? How do people, how are the services designed in a way that they flex to a person's needs? For example, yeah, how do you quit your job or take time away from your job to get treatment for substance use disorder? Where are those services? Part of, you know, you've probably, everybody in the state has heard about the two hospitals shutting down in Chippewa and in Eau Claire. Yeah, the two hospitals shut down, but 15 clinics shut down with those two hospitals. and the substance use disorder treatment and recovery place also shut down. So there's one more resource out of the region. So how do we make that better? I mean, obviously, having people have coverage is one thing, but then having people have services accessible to them is another thing. Example of that, at Western Wisconsin Health, we built a behavioral health program. And because that organization is designated as a rural health clinic, which means it's federally funded for Medicare and Medicaid patients at cost, we are able to provide those behavioral health services to many, many people in the region who couldn't otherwise get them. Our behavioral health providers actually go into the schools and provide the behavioral health services to school districts in that area. And that's working out really well for parents, you know, who might struggle to go take their child from school to a behavioral health appointment. How do we meet people where they are? And that's one of the key things I took away from my nursing training was we never, ever, ever judge people. And I think as moms, a lot of us, we just are that way. No offense, Pat. I'm men are too. But we meet people where they are. We accept people. And we always think, I mean, I remember being an OB nurse and taking care of some people who I knew they were going to take this little baby home and they were going to struggle. And I just thought, you know, if not for the grace of God, I would be there. Yeah. And how do we help take care of people?
Which is exactly what we should be doing, though I would hasten to add, we have a legislature that is still sitting on millions of dollars that was meant to go toward this Chippewa Valley health emergency that they're playing politics with. You want to change that? You change the legislature. That would include Allison Page's candidacy in the 30th district. Head over to pageforwardwisconsin.com to learn more. Allison Page, thanks. Good to see you again. Good luck. Take care.
All right.
Nicole, Kate. Awesome as always, go to motherhoodforgood.com or motherhoodforgood on Instagram to learn all the many events going on there. We'll catch you later. Luke Mathers is up next. You're up north.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's.
Welcome back. It's just about 7:52, and my thanks to some of the pinch hitters the past couple of weeks, but it wouldn't be Thursday morning without our visit with Luke Mathers, who had a lovely break from politics and work politics and traffic jams, which he's apparently stuck in right now. But are you in fact in Madison area traffic, or did you just decide to stay in Europe? And, you know, are you about to make an announcement or something?
I can confirm I am not in European traffic. I am just in normal Madison traffic.
Well, welcome back. How was
it? Thank you. It was great. It was a great time away. We had a blast. The lovely happy couple had some unfortunate weather to deal with. It was a once in a 4-decade rainstorm where we were, but you know, they did a spectacular job adjusting on the fly, and it was really great to spend some time with them and celebrate a good friend's wedding.
Yeah, we were discussing in some of our climate reporting about the torrential rains in Europe, and I had no idea that you were, you know, caught up in that whole mess out there. But I suppose, much like, you know, here, there's a lot of talk about storms getting stronger and, you know, flood mitigation where you can. But if you're a tourist, you're kind of at the tender mercies of whatever infrastructure is there.
Yeah, absolutely. And they always say that it's good luck if there's rain on your wedding day, but I don't think anybody needed that much rain.
No. So, well, good for you. Hey, I should add one more reminder here before the end of the hour. You've got about 5-6 more minutes to text the keyword SEAT, S-E-A-T, to the Go for the Green or Gold contest using the Civic Media app, and perhaps win a seat to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay later this season. So any particular highlight? I mean, we had the low light of the weather, but was there any one site or city that, you know, that's the thing you're going to think back on when you think about this trip?
I'm still missing the tiramisu. The tiramisu was anywhere I could get it. It was delicious. So that was, there's so many different highlights though. Just spending time away, being able to unplug, we got to see some of the mountain range in Northern Italy, the Dolomites, which was spectacular. And the weather could have been better, but it also could have been worse. So, you know, that's one of those things where you just take it and you roll with it as you can. And we had a really good time.
Did you get much for political talk from, you know, either Brits or other Europeans who, you know, saw that, you know, here's this American couple, this tourist, and anybody come up to you and go, what the hell is going on over there in your country?
A lot of folks surprised when they found out, when they learned that we were from Wisconsin, asking what it's like to live and come from a swing state. Everybody Whoa. Knows that Wisconsin is a swing state.
They understand swing states. I'm impressed.
Yes. And so that was kind of people's faces would light up when they heard that we're from Wisconsin, and they would ask,
we're the questions. Most valuable ones. You know, it's like, oh my God, these are the Americans you want to know. So yeah, they probably think you meet Kamala Harris and Donald Trump every couple of days or so.
I don't know if there's anything to that extent, but it was definitely a lot of questions about what the heck's going on in our electoral politics. And so even though it was unplugged, I did get a couple of those questions. Interestingly enough, too, didn't watch the debate, but was gone for that debate between the vice president and the former president. And we overheard other tourists when we were going about our days the following the debate and hearing how Kamala won and Trump lost without really, like, unpromptedly, just overhearing people talking about in a foreign city how poor of a job Donald Trump did on that debate back on the 10th.
Do you feel like they said that with a sense of glee or more of a sense of relief or something else?
It was a couple of you could tell depending on who. There were some people that were like, oh, we don't really want to talk about politics. But yeah, it was weird. And then you had other folks that you could overhear being like, get his clock cleaned.
Mm-hmm. So now you're back. So I have to ask, how many emails were awaiting you upon your return?
An illegal amount of emails. Like, it should have been illegal to receive that many while I was away. But yeah, a lot. I'm finally unburied. It took me several days to get unburied from how many emails. But back and ready to be in the swing of things for the last 5.5 weeks.
Would you call that a failure to delegate, or are you just that much loved that all these people wanted to send messages?
I think it's just how many different lists and other stuff that I am, because I could tell that there was not the normal onslaught, but just the amount of listservs and updates and all of the other things that come with just the normal news updates. There was a lot of emails, a lot of press releases, a lot of media advisories, a lot of stuff that just, you know, doesn't stop regardless of how much you delegate. So
that's true. And we'll do it all over again with the vice presidential debate next week, next Tuesday. Terry Bell will be anchoring the coverage of that. So you just, you know, I'm glad you got your break, because it's going to be something for these next 40 days.
Yep, we know that it's not going to stop, so there's going to be, and who knows, had some fun with Greg and Jane earlier this week, catching up on what I missed with the debate. I'm going to say never. I have a feeling we might get one more debate out of the top of the ticket, too. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens over these next 40 days or so.
Luke Mathers, thank you so much. Welcome home.
Thanks, Pat. Always a pleasure.
All right. Greg is back for Matt and Air on Air, coming up in 2 short hours. First, a little more Beatles from Abbey Road. Again, tomorrow we'll have former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We'll have Mark Jacob, Kia Vakil from.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.